that you played when you were a little girl, at school or at home or when you had company or any time. I know that a lot of them were games that children made up. They didn't have as much many gadgets as we have today to play with. Mostly group games at school, I guess.
Mostly what?
Group games at school.
Yes, we had some. Well, one group game was go in and out the window.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
drop the handkerchief.
Drop the handkerchief.
Yeah. That's and what's the second thing you named? After go in and out the window, what else do you say?
Well, where you choose.
Oh, you choose, yeah. Someone out of the...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And they always, the one chosen felt, you know, special.
Yeah. Favorite.
Uh-huh. And London Bridge has always been a good game.
I never see children play it now. Maybe they do at school. I'm not there.
I doubt if they do now.
Maybe not.
But they have supervised play at school now until, you know, they have their games.
Yeah.
I guess, as I say, in the homes, sometimes children go home with each other and stay all night.
Yeah.
And all, and get a group, we'd get a group and play Blind Man's Buff, or we'd play Pussy Wants a Corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or Hide the Thimble, where we'd hide some little something.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have to be a thimble, we called it the Hide the Thimble.
Uh-huh. Treasure hunt, sort of.
And we'd hide some little something. It had to be in plain view, in view.
Oh.
So they didn't have to move anything to see.
That's good.
Because.
That'd tear up the house.
Yes. But then when you spied the object, why, you stooped.
Oh.
Or let them know.
That you see it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 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 And see him. And just little makeup games. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the car, when our children would, we would go on trips, sometimes we'd play I Spy, and you spy something in the car, and they begin to ask questions until they can figure out what it is you saw.
Yes.
You don't have to keep looking at it.
That's
the
same order.
That's a good quiet game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And spin the bottle, maybe. Did you all spin the bottle?
Well, I think the bigger ones.
The bigger ones. Yeah. Well, you finally got bigger.
Yeah.
How about, were there any...
I think the bigger ones, I don't really remember. They'd have play parties once in a while. They call them play parties. It's either... I don't know if it were square dancing or something like that. I don't know if there's games like that or not.
Well, I imagine most every community would have square dancing sometimes at barn dance. Yeah, probably did. Did they have any card games like Old Maids or Authors?
We had Authors was our game.
Brownlow
and
said
checkers.
It was. Yeah.
Checkers. We play checkers.
A lot. Well, Brownlow said Authors was one of the games when he was growing up they played a lot.
Well, we did too. Mm-hmm. But we weren't allowed to play with the playing cards.
Well, that's sinful, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we didn't have any in our home.
You might have gambled and that would have been wrong, see?
In our home, but in later years, Mother enjoyed playing with the children.
I remember. Yeah, I remember. She did. Yeah, gin rummy and I don't know what all, but.
But I think Authors is a good game because I can remember, you know, they had the name of the author and then three books they had written.
Yeah.
Three or four. And that's the way you learn the names of classical literature.
Right.
And who by.
Uh-huh.
You know, helped.
Yeah.
It was really education.
And didn't they have the picture of the author on them sometimes?
Yes.
Of course, I don't know if that helped you, but it was on there.
Well, it did. The picture, like, was in the book.
Yeah. He'll get that, I think. Right by his nose.
Your telephone.
Probably Nancy saying whether she would go or not. What about pets? I remember Grandpa Ragsdale's dog, spotted dog, Old Joe. Remember Old Joe?
No.
You don't remember Old Joe? Well, and then pets that we had when we were growing up.
We had a little rat terrier dog.
Most of the time, didn't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the kind of dog we'd get. Mm-hmm. I don't remember their names so much, but I can visualize some of them.
He was so afraid of thunder, he'd run, and if we'd let him in, he'd run into bed.
Any place to hide.
I guess he'd been shocked or something.
Yeah.
Well, Daddy had dogs because they killed all my turkeys one year. I was raising turkeys. I was going to buy me a piece of furniture. He had, I think, a couple of dogs.
Like bird dogs? Like bird dogs?
They must have been. I don't know what kind.
They went after those birds.
Anyway,
they?
Yeah. They'd kill my turkeys.
Well, aren't turkeys, they can panic, and don't they run into each other and suffocate sometimes or something?
I don't know.
I think turkeys are...
But I just know I didn't have any turkeys.
Turkeys are skittish, and I don't know if they actually... bit all of them or whether they died of fright. I remember one dog we had that was an Airedale when we lived down at Karnak. Huh. And what I remember about him was he was gray-haired. And I've seen very few dogs in my life that were gray-haired except these gray poodles, but I mean to have turned gray.
While we lived at Karnak, I think that they got my turkeys.
Oh, that's where you had them.
Huh? He had some more dogs.
Yeah. Well, maybe this Airedale got some of them then.
He may have.
And then I remember our little Shetland pony named Billy.
Yes.
He was sort of mean and contrary, but we liked him. I want to back up and ask you some things about Daddy's work. After you left Detroit, when you found out you didn't like the city.
I don't remember just the year it was, whether it was after we'd made one crop, we finished the crop, you know, what the year we were, whether it was the next year we went up there before crop time. Then he was dissatisfied and came back. And
with Grandpa Allard then another year.
That's the way I remember.
Uh-huh. So it was after that then that you went to work for Mr. Clanahan?
Yes. I think we were... with his father. Well, we married in 1916, and we went to the Clanahan place in 1918.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. See, we made the trip in 1916 and 1917 with his dad.
And the trip to Detroit in between that.
Yeah, we went at crop time to see it. We would like.
Okay. And then okay, tell us about when you moved to the Clanahan place. What kind of work did you do there?
Well, Mr. Clanahan owned, I don't know, a good-sized stock farm. And he had breeding stock. Horses, hogs, bulls. I don't know whether he had cattle or not. He had dairy cows instead. And... or we got dairy cows. He and Daddy went in partnership.
Oh.
He furnished the farm, you know. Mm-hmm. Daddy furnished the labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they split the other expense. And it was a fruit farm, too. It had a big pear orchard.
Oh.
So pears. And they had quite a few cherry trees. And...
I remember hearing about the cherry trees. I don't remember them, but you fed them to me when I had whooping cough. Fed cherries.
Yes. You loved them so. Like cherries. And so you could eat all you wanted because you lose them in your coughing. And you were born the spring after we moved to the Clanahan place in 1990. And, of course, it was a farm, and they had to have help. hired help, Daddy Bear. And they feed out to, they buy and hogs is to another line of stock. We had breeding hogs and sows, 8 or 10 or 12 sows that would, and we had little houses built. And of course, I raised chickens and garden and helped take care of the dairy. We'd milk about 20 or 30 cows sometime. That would. I didn't help with the milking, but I had to help with the separator.
No milking machines in those days.
No.
By hand.
Of course, part of those cows might be dry, you know, at the time, but it was pretty good. We'd ship the 5 gallon, I believe, of cream to Carroll every morning. We had a well, a deep well in the corner of the yard, and we could keep our cream cool and ship it once a day on the morning train down to Carroll. I think it was for ice cream.
Oh boy.
And a lot of work to do. And we lived there until 1924, I believe it was.
So George was born there.
George and Mary Ellen both were born. And you?
Well, I was, yes. You already mentioned that I was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You and George and Mary Ellen.
That's
were
right.
Born
mm-hmm.
The same house, same place. But we moved the fall, or winter. I can't remember the month we moved to Karnak mm-hmm. from Lyon. But it's the year that Mary Ellen was born.
What did we call that place?
Courtney Farm.
Courtney. I couldn't think of that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All I could think of, Massac, and that's the county.
That was another big farm. Uh-huh. And I don't know how come Daddy to get that job as manager. That might have been that they'd heard, you know, of the...
Maybe he got tired of all those dairy cows.
I'll tell you, you see, we were at the Depression was starting.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't depend on prices of livestock. And he shipped hogs by the carload and cattle too.
Mm-hmm.
They buy them up.
Yeah. From other farmers.
Uh-huh. And, they'd have to feed them out a while, maybe. And he'd also buy feed by carload.
Mm-hmm.
And it got, the feed didn't pay for itself. We knew we were losing money all the time, but we had to stop and had to feed them, you know, feed money.
Yeah.
And get.
Well, then the Karnak place was more, you were tilling soil more than you were taking care of stock.
It wasn't as big a stock farm, no. But it had a lot of acreage. It had a lot more acreage than that did. And so we moved down there, and I believe it. Let's see. We moved down, well, I said it in 1924.
Mm-hmm. And of course, and Gertrude was born
in
there.
1926.
She was born there before you moved to Mississippi?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We moved to Mississippi the year she was born.
Yeah?
She was born in April, and we moved to Mississippi that fall. Mm-hmm. You had 1 year
of first grade in Karnak. Area, out in the country school. Yeah, I was a first grader. I walked a mile to school, I know that.
You wouldn't have been 6 years old.
Yeah, I was.
The year of Gertrude
was
born.
I was thinking
of Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was
old
six.
Enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then how did Daddy ever know about Mississippi? That there were prospects for work there, or he would like to make the change. How did he find that out. How did he go to Mississippi in the first place?
Seems like his father went there first. I can't remember how they did. I don't remember.
And then he met
they
Mr.
Got,
Lane.
And got acquainted with Mr. Lane.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where they were when they did. Surely can't remember. But we knew him and knew that there was an opening there, you know, to sell mules. Because they didn't have tractors then.
So the sale of mules is the primary thing that attracted you to Mississippi.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The possibility
yes.
of selling mules to the plantation owners.
Mm-hmm. It'd just be like a
because they didn't have
car
tractors.
Dealer now would hear of an opening, you know, for selling cars.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then when you got there, he would buy mules. No, he would go to Fort Worth to buy mules, didn't he?
Yes.
And buy the carload.
By the carloads and bring them back and have a mule lot, mm-hmm. sell them to the plantation owner.
And then you bought some acreage where he had some cotton, didn't he?
Yes, out from Flora, mm-hmm. and he bought a plot right at the edge of town where we planned to build for a home.
Yeah, I remember the floor. I remember a little bit about the plan of the house. It had dormer windows.
Yeah, and, I had a plan that I
liked. You like.
Well, I don't know if we'd ever built it or not, but
might have.
Had. Uh-huh.
Who
but
did
he
you
was getting lots.
Who yeah. bought that? Who bought that place when you moved?
I don't remember whether it's Paul Stevenson or just who.
Well, is that near where they bought where they built the private school when Flora?
Well, they built it in Flora. Right. The school
closer in.
That is where near where they built the new store out at the Holloway place.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of where the Holloway house, uh-huh. the new store. And it's many highways and all out there now.
Can't recognize it.
I can't recognize it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know the new highway from Jackson almost goes through our bedroom that we used to have there by the lanes.
Yes.
That
yes,
house is no longer there. In the.
You
in
can't
the,
recognize that place
no,
either because the lane house is gone. And the black house looks like it has been built too. I can nearly recognize it.
Uh-huh. Changed some,
George.
So, when we got to Floral, we first lived in the house that was next to the Lanes.
Yes.
And then we moved to the what we called the Smith House. Wasn't it?
Yes.
On the same
well,
street of
next,
the Simpson.
Next door to the Smiths. Uh-huh.
Well, we called it Smith House, I guess, because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They may have owned the house. I don't.
You don't remember who you bought it from?
Who owned it? Mm-hmm.
But
well,
it was on the street where the Simpson house is.
Yes.
So we could find it.
It's gone now.
What kind of car did we have when we moved from Illinois to Mississippi?
A Ford.
Open touring car.
One that had side curtains. Yeah.
And not much paved highway, mainly gravel?
I think the first car we owned was an Overland, bigger car, but then, mm-hmm. no, it was a gravel road mostly.
And
it took
little,
2 days.
A little dusty when we got there, I guess we were slightly
two
dirty.
Days. Tired,
hot.
Think of traveling with four little ones.
Yeah. And, I remember we stayed at the Hemp Hill Hotel, which wasn't the best. I remember our first night.
We were talking when I was at George's about every little railroad town had a hotel. Grantsburg had one. and Flora. And if the railroad went through because of keeping
travelers. If they had business there, they could spend the night as well.
Go by train. See, we didn't have cars to travel in then. So that mode.
Not as many highways. Well, then your move from Mississippi to Ohio was by train.
Yes.
All the way. How long did that take, or do you remember?
That was a hard move.
I know. Every way, wasn't it? In every way. Five little children.
Talk about decisions.
Yeah, and a lot to make, didn't you? Well, they weren't so final that you couldn't change your mind on some of it, because
we moved from Ohio back to Illinois.
Saw
we had made a mistake. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Because, well, I don't know that you would call it that, because if we hadn't tried it, we might have thought that was the thing.
That we should have.
And we did try.
Better to find out.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And that house we called the Hall, it was on Hall Street.
Hall Street.
Well, why did we decide we should go to Ohio?
Well, because Olaf lived there, I felt I need to be near some of my folks, some of the folks. And we just decided it wasn't as large a city as some of the family lived in. Some thought we should go to the city, that new children could get work easier, you know, when we got big enough, and that it would be better if we did. But that would have been a new life for me and for you children, too.
Yeah.
So,
too much change.
That didn't appeal to me. As I've told you, I'm not too good a mixer. And we went. Mother was going to live with us, and we thought she'd be happy with us. But I didn't find anything in Oregon to do except I babysat a little. And I decided I'd brush up on typing or finish the typing, a typing course. And I got permission at high school to use their typewriters or take some typing. But I never did get it done then when we decided that we'd be back to. And one reason, I guess, too, it took me a while. I realized I just wasn't myself very much back then. I just couldn't accept it hardly.
Well, it was a year of your grieving and adjusting.
Well, that's what I mean.
Wherever you had lived, you would have been...
I wouldn't have been very well satisfied.
A period of adjustment.
Yes. So, Grandmother Alec was at Grandpa Huffman's then, I believe. She was taking care of Grandma, weren't she?
I believe so.
And she thought then maybe we would be happier there. Of course, she was glad to have us closer to her. And Uncle Ned and Uncle Charlie seemed willing. I hated to go back. I felt that they would think I'd just be hardship on them. And that's the way, one reason at Oroville, I felt that Ada thought we were depending on them. And I didn't want that. Maybe I was a little bit too independent. So we went back to Vienna, but I didn't know what. I didn't have anything inside when we went back to Vienna. But depression was beginning. So I got some work at nursery, this government nursery school. And of course, I enjoyed doing that. And I began feeling better and encouraged. And then in, I don't exactly know, I just can't remember if I ever did know just how it did happen, but I know Ira Shelton and Mabel were visiting their families down there. And he is a very close friend to Lloyd Robertson, the county superintendent. And he talked to him about that I would be a good teacher. You know, and of course the Robertsons had always known the Ragsdale family. In fact, claimed they were kin to them a little. And Mr. Robertson went to see get my certificate. And Mr. Lon Quittenberg was the state superintendent. And he was from down around Threesville. And Father was a good friend to him. So they honored the grades that I had made when Miss Rayburn. See, they were more lax than you couldn't have done that now.
No.
More lax. Mm-hmm. But I got my certificate, and Uncle Charlie and Uncle Ned, I don't know, had some influence on the school board. Mr. Johnny Carlton and Mr. Settlemore and was on school board then. But that's after, just after the nursery school. So I was to go to start getting some work, college work. And I, in the spring of 1934, Uncle Ed took me to Carlinville to meet him. And get a place to board. And I began going to Cardinal. Normally, it was a normal school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us when you started your college
Be
work,
through.
And then when you finished.
Well.
Your bachelor.
I started to Carbondale in 1935. The spring of 1934, I started teaching in Vienna grade, first grade, 1935, the fall. And I went to Carbondale and took extension courses until I graduated from Carbondale in 1952. I would go to school in the summer, every summer. I think I missed about three or four summers. And then took some extension courses at night while I was teaching. I taught. And I'd come home every weekend to be with the family. And then through the week, I stayed at a private home at the first, and then I stayed in dormitories through the week.
I'm walking my baby back home.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Okay, then, what year did you retire from Vienna Grade School?
I retired from Vienna Grade School because they retired teachers at 65 years of age. So I retired in 1963.
And then, before you had gotten anything other than a summer rest, you were asked to teach at Simpson, weren't you?
Yes.
And tell us how that came about.
Well, their teacher that they had hired for the year got a chance to get a school that suited her better. And she resigned. And it was about a month till school began. So they were in need of a teacher. And they came to me. And I don't know if I take it for at least 1 year. And so I did. Because I didn't feel that I needed to retire right then. Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
And so I taught the first 4 grades the first year I was out at Simpson, and I had never taught but having 2 grades at a time. I had had first and second grade
a few times.
And
how long was it before they got a teacher then to replace you?
To replace me? Where, you mean?
At Simpson.
Oh, at Simpson. They merged with another school. That's how come me to quit.
Well, but tell us what year that was, how long it was from the time
I taught in Simpson for 11 years. It was 1974 that I retired from Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
They told me when I took the school, though, said, we don't retire teacher. So they thought it would be a good...
Mm-hmm. Well, that was some experience, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
After you thought you had retired, and then to have a whole new career for several mm-hmm. years, that was good. Good service. Tell us a little bit about the education of your children. I know that your ambition was that all of your children receive a college education, and yet, as we know, we were extremely limited in funds. In fact, our whole family marvels at how you were able to even feed and clothe us with such meager means, but you did such a marvelous job of it. But can you think of anything about how you got each of us going on the road to college education? Now, study.
Is it me? Well, when Jeanette was ready for college, had graduated from high school, Uncle Charles Huffman and Aunt Eva gave her the tuition to Hillman College in Mississippi for 2 years. So she graduated from junior college there. And then George went to Flint, Michigan during his senior year in high school and to junior college and stayed at his Aunt Charlotte, who was a sister of his father. And Mary Ellen, when she graduated from high school, went to the University of Illinois on a scholarship and worked at a dormitory or rooming house and for part of her. I had to contribute, of course. It cost so much a month, you know, to keep them. But and then Gertrude went to Mars Hill, North Carolina, when she graduated from high school to junior college. I believe it's junior college. But anyway.
Then she went to the University of Illinois to finish, didn't her senior college.
But she didn't finish at the university. She went to Mars Hill, and then she went to the University of Illinois. And I wanted her to finish, but she married, just as I wanted Jeanette to finish, and she married. But they were both to finish. And as it turned out, Gertrude needed her diploma when she was left with the two boys when she and Stan separated. And she finished up at Carbondale, graduated from Carbondale then, to get her teacher certificate. And George went to Mississippi State after Michigan Junior College. And then he was called into service and joined the Navy and served during the remainder of the World War II war. And when he graduated from Mississippi State in agricultural economics, but he decided to go into medicine when he came back from the service and started medical school. And of course, before Jeanette married, she taught school in Harrisburg.
New Burnside before that?
New Burnside. Two years. And then Harrisburg, 1 year.
One and a half. Went to Carbondale in between.
Uh-huh.
Summer school.
Uh-huh. And then married Brownlow and went to school some after that.
Just didn't quite finish it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we have to include the fact that there would have been another one to put in school had Ray lived. And great grief to all of our family that we lost Ray, because he was a mighty fine young man. And I've said sometimes that he might have been the brightest child you had. Had he lived.
Know.
But anyway, I'm sure that every one of us say how grateful we are that you helped us in getting an education, because it's enriched our lives so very much, enabled many of the family to make outstanding marks in their profession. Well, how about talking, I don't know that we mentioned this before, when you and Dad were married, it wasn't long until World War I came along. How was it that Daddy was not called into the service?
Well, the draft exempted men that were farming and contributing to the efforts, war effort, if it was something. And also, I believe they waited and married men were in another
category,
yeah. I think, too. Well, both. Anyway, he didn't have to go. But he was farming all the time.
Well, then, when World War II came along, you had contributions to make to the war effort. Tell us what you did. Didn't think of it either.
For 2 summers, I went to Dixon, Illinois, and worked in the ordnance plant during my vacation. But
how did you happen to get sent to Dixon? How did you know about Dixon, or know that you could work there?
Well, Mary Ellen was up. She was going to the University of Illinois, and she'd heard, and through her, I think, is the way I got in touch.
So you both worked together there, didn't you?
Mary Ellen and I worked the first summer together. And Gertrude and I worked the second summer together. Mary Ellen was married.
Okay. I want to back up to some of the things we were talking about during your childhood. I feel like that there are probably things that you did as a little girl that our little daughters and our granddaughters haven't been doing lately in the way of entertaining yourselves, or, you mentioned walking on the railroad track and things like that. How'd you spend your Sunday afternoons?
Well, that was back when I was grown, girls and boys would go to meet the train on Sunday afternoon, And where we lived, we had a choice of two schools, Grantsburg School and Franklin. And if we went to Grantsburg School, we went a road that was traveled, you know, by wagons and buggies and so on, until we got to the railroad, and then it was nearer to go up the railroad to the depot and cross the Bay Bridge and over to school. And that's the way we walked to school there. And there was the Bay Creek would get out of
out of bounds?
Banks, you know. Yeah, overflow. And all the bottom would be water. And the road was so low, you know, they didn't have highways built up then. And it's just flat. And it would be covered, and we couldn't go over it only by boat. So Mother would send us children, little ones, you know, to school in a boat, in a homemade
rowboat,
with a hired hand, and Olaf was home. And they would row the boat, and we'd go to school through those. I wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't let your children do that.
I've been afraid, yeah. But we did. And we decided which school we'd go to by the one that our parents thought would be the best teacher. We could go to either of two schools.
So one year you might go to one school, and the next year you might go to the other one.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, that's great. Have a choice. I've heard people talk about barn raisings and hog killings and chivalries and poundings. Talk about some things like that happened in the community.
Hog killings, well, they always had to have help from the neighbors, nearly, to lift hogs up and butcher. And the women and men would work together on it. And render big kettles of lard. And
make chitlins?
Yes, and those cracklings were good, too.
And hogshead cheese, or what do we call that? Souse?
We call it souse. Uh-huh. It's head cheese, is uh-huh. really what it was. Cook the heads, and that was good.
Good homemade sausage was great.
Yes, and ribs.
And then tell how you cured it.
Well, they would salt it down. My father would, we had a platform and had a box, big box or bin, and just cover it with salt and let it take up that salt until over a few weeks, you know, till it was salt. Mm-hmm. And then we'd hang it up in the smokehouse. Everybody had a smokehouse. A little house built off from the house where they kept things stored and their meat and so on like that. Like a utility room. Because we didn't need it for a washer because we used a tub outside.
Yeah. All outdoors was your washer room.
But we'd hang the meat then with wires or string up and then build a hickory fire under it. And let the smoke go up. That's where we had smoked ham and smoked bacon.
Make it taste good, didn't mm-hmm. it? Good flavor.
It did. Mm-hmm.
Well, in addition to preparing meat, what did you do about vegetables and preserving them?
Well, we would dry apples and peaches and can fruit. They've been canning food a long time, I guess. But we put up a lot of canned.
That was before
food.
Deep freezes.
And we didn't have, everybody had to have a cellar or some, keep them warm enough in the winter to keep them from freezing, the cans, and in the summer from being too hot.
The cellar was...
We had